Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This week at both of our LCMS seminaries, the one in Fort Wayne and the one in St. Louis, there are call services for the graduating seminary students, we call them seminarians, who will be receiving their first calls out to congregations across America. I've been there. I was, well, there online in 2020. That was kind of a weird call service. But I know kind of what's going through their head, and I can imagine also what it is like to be a congregation who is trying to call one of those seminary students. Unfortunately, there are about 2 congregations calling seminary students for every 1 seminary student that there is, so not everyone will get one this year. But I can imagine what they are hoping for if they do get one, and I can imagine what the students are hoping for in their first congregation as a pastor. The students are hoping, and the congregations are hoping for some sort of perfect fit. The students are hoping that the congregation will be welcoming of them, that the congregation will not have too many practices that they find abhorrent or distasteful. They are hoping that they are well catechized and very Lutheran. They are hoping that they have the right amount of challenge, but not too much. The congregations are also hoping for a perfect fit. They're hoping for a young, energetic pastor who will come and bring in young families, who will maybe have a cute family of his own. They are hoping for a pastor who will come and maybe change some things to bring some energy into the congregation, but probably not change too many things because they are accustomed to a certain way of doing things. They're all hoping for a perfect fit. Unfortunately, we know that's kind of impossible on this side of heaven. On this side of heaven, there is no such thing as an absolutely perfect fit between pastor and congregation. And that goes with other relationships too. On this side of heaven, there will be personality conflicts. On this side of heaven, we're dealing with sinful humans. There is no perfect match. There will be generational conflicts. There will be conflicts of the future vision of the church. There will be words that are spoken and misinterpreted, probably by both parties. There may even be, in some places, unfortunately, tempers lost. Congregations that will run their pastors out, pastors that will run their congregations down, and the like. We know this about the church, that a shepherd and a congregation, it doesn't always go perfectly. Sometimes it goes really well, and that's great, God be praised, but it never really goes perfectly. We know this about the church, and Israel also knew this about the church and its history. If you come to our Sunday morning Bible study, we've been learning all about these shepherd kings, some of them good, some of them bad, some of them running things into the ground, some of them restoring the congregation and the temple, but none of them perfect. That is why it is so powerful when Jesus comes on scene today in our gospel reading and speaks to his church and says to his church, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. In other words, I am the perfect fit. I am the one who will be perfect for my people. And my people I will make perfect for me. When he says, I am the good shepherd, it means so many things. It means at least this. Let's take it in turn. First, it means that he is the shepherd. That little article is very important. It's a definite article, not an indefinite one. Not a good shepherd, the good shepherd. As we said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. When Jesus says, I am the shepherd, he is saying, I am the Lord. Recalling Psalm 23, or you can also recall our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel 34, the Lord says, I myself will seek out my sheep and find them when they are lost. And so when Jesus says, I am the shepherd, he's saying, look, I'm that one. The one from Ezekiel 34, the one who will myself go out and seek my sheep when they are lost and bring them into the fold. He is claiming divinity. He is confessing that he is God. He is the shepherd that the world, that Israel, that you have always been waiting for and leaning on. He is the shepherd unlike any other shepherd. Unlike the priest of old that could only offer temporary sacrifices, he is the priest shepherd who offers the sacrifice as the Lamb of God once for all. Unlike the prophets that could only speak God's word as middlemen, unlike even his prophets today, his under-shepherds, those seminarians going out to receive their first calls, who can only speak God's word as middlemen, yes, in Christ's stead, but as middlemen, he is the Word made flesh. He is the one who speaks the word, and the sheep hear his voice, and they listen to him. Unlike those kings before, some of them bad, some of them good, all of them imperfect, he is the King of love, as our hymn says, our shepherd who is perfect in every way, not corrupt, never running anything into the ground, only building up, forgiving, loving, rebuking in the right ways when it needs to happen. The King of love, my shepherd is. He is God. He is Jesus Christ, the prophet, priest, the king, the, not a, shepherd. And in these ways, you can also see the next part of that equation. He is also the good shepherd. And not good in the modern sense of the word good as in not that bad. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm good. Not that bad. Could be better. Not that kind of good, and not good simply morally good either, as in he made all the right decisions. He didn't make bad decisions in his life, or he did the right things. He is that. But good in the sense of the one that you need. Good in the sense of all of those things that we already talked about, that he is good, perfectly good. As the hymn says, the King of love, my shepherd is, his goodness faileth never. Good in a way that is providing for you. Good in the way that the hymn continues on, I nothing lack if I am his. Good as in exactly the one that you need. Good as in perfectly good. And you can think of everything good that your shepherd does, that your good shepherd does for you, how you do lack nothing when you are his. He is the good shepherd who comes and finds you when you are lost and brings you back to safety. He is the one who, as he says, this is how he is the most good, he lays down his life for the sheep. The kind of good that would give his own life as a sacrifice for you so that your sins might be forgiven and that you might live in his righteousness. This kind of good shepherd. I like that we have the crucifix here now. It's a very simple object lesson I can use in my preaching now. This kind of good shepherd, the one who does this for you. He is the one who picks you up in his resurrection this Easter season and leads you to the still waters of your baptism, where you can have an identity as a child of God. You don't need to go out and find an identity in this chaotic world, but your identity is in your shepherd, died and risen again. He is the one who leads you to a table that he prepares for you, where with celestial food he feeds you. As we read in Psalm 23, he gives you at that table. It is nice that we have a table now to kneel at that he has prepared for you. He will feed you with his body, feed you with his blood, feed you with, as Psalm 23 pictures it, his overflowing cup of mercy. He is the one who gives you these things in your deep and dark times, strength and nourishment. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is the one who feeds you, nourishes you, and gives you what you need so that you would fear no evil. Not the evil of this world, not the evil of the devil, not the evil of your sinful flesh. And he restores you. He restores you when you grow weary and heavy laden. He says, "Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and light." And he guides you. He gives you wisdom and discernment whenever you have to make very difficult decisions in your life. I could go on and on. He gives you every good gift from above, provides for you all that you need, even as he does the birds of the air. Everything you need for this body and life, he is that kind of good. The one that you need, the one that gives you everything that you need. Nothing you lack if you are his. And so, dear saints, you are his. John 10, when Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me," it is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Because it is one of the main places where we get one of my favorite doctrines in the church, the doctrine of election. I don't think I'm actually supposed to have favorite doctrines, but if I did, it would be the doctrine of election, because it is simply so comforting. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, I am the one, I am the good one, I know my own, and my own know me." And later in this chapter, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and no one can pluck them out of my hand." He is saying that you belong to him. He elected you who have apprehended his gifts by faith to be his child. He predestined you from before creation to be his child. And he will do whatever it takes to ensure that that is true. He went to the cross for you. He rose from the dead for you. He baptized you. He feeds you. He finds you. He nourishes you. Again, restores you. He is good. And you are his, and he is yours. And when you receive those gifts and you apprehend them by faith, you know that this is true. You can be so sure, absolutely sure, of this most marvelous gift that you belong to him. You are in his hand. No one can snatch you out. His goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Of course, he does speak of those who are in the church and not truly his sheep, the ones who are not elect, He speaks of the hired hand who doesn't stay and help when persecution comes and times get hard. He says the hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. These are the hypocrites in the church, if you will. And so we should also, when we read this, beware. Not everyone who darkens the doorway of this church may be one of his sheep. If you do not apprehend his gifts by faith, if you do not repent of your sins and thus allow Jesus to forgive you, you have no share in his fold. If you are only here as some sort of hired hand, only here for some sort of fleshly or worldly benefit, then on the last day you will be eaten by the wolf. And yet our shepherd remains good. He has chosen who he has chosen, and he remains good. The presence of hypocrites and wolves does not stop him from loving. So even after he warns us of the dangers of wolves and the dangers of hired hands, he also says this: I have sheep. I have other sheep that are not yet of this fold, and I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And so, dear saints, he does that by speaking his voice. Speaking his voice who his sheep hear and know. Speaking his voice, yes, through under-shepherds, like those seminarians, under-shepherds, like myself. But also speaking his voice through you. You who are not like hired hands, but are faithful in your life, faithful in your vocations to your family, in the world, and to the church. Through you, he speaks his word. When you go out into the world and you display the light of Christ for others to see and glorify your Father who is in heaven, he speaks his word. And so find those sheep out there, the ones you know, your neighbors, your family, your friends, and bring them here. Bring them here to continue to hear that voice. Bring them here to hear the word. Bring them here to hear the gospel, that we might be one. For God has more elect that are not here yet, but they will, he promises, be here, because he himself will go out and find them, and he calls you to join him on that mission. Jesus said, I must bring them in, and so let us, as one flock, with one shepherd, let us grow in this way. Let us bring in the other sheep called by Christ, and then may we all have our perfect match. May we all know Jesus as our one true, the good shepherd, the King of love, whose goodness faileth never. For nothing will we and they lack when we are his and he is ours forever. Amen.